Thank you. My name is David Jesperson, and today I'm going to be talking about the identification of some quantitative trait loci associated with delayed heat-induced senescence in creeping bankgrass. As I'm sure many of you know, heat is a major abiotic stress affecting cool-season turf grasses, in particular creeping bankgrass, Agrostis stolonifera, which is widely used on many fine turf areas, and during summer months experience great damages. On the cellular level, we start to see an induction of premature senescence, which is typified by a degradation of cellular components such as proteins and membranes, altered carbon relations, a decrease in photosynthesis and an increase in respiration rates, and the production of damaging reactive oxygen species. Ultimately, this leads to turf with reduced growth, thinner canopies, yellowing chlorosis, and eventually death. So with that in mind, there's a great need to create turf that has improved heat tolerance. Unfortunately, like many abiotic stresses, heat tolerance is a complicated trait controlled by many genes. However, genetic variation does exist for levels of heat tolerance, and there is the potential to use that underlying genetic differences and to combine them in new ways to create more tolerant lines of bentgrasses that will be able to withstand these temperatures. So the ultimate research questions are, what are the genetic differences which result in different levels of heat tolerance? Can we identify genes or genetic regions associated with heat tolerance? And can these genetic markers associated with these genes and regions be used to select for heat tolerance and ultimately create more tolerant varieties of bentgrasses? The specific objectives of the experiment I'm going to be talking about today were to screen a creeping bentgrass population for important heat tolerance characteristics and run a quantitative trait loci, or QTL, analysis to identify regions and genetic markers associated with these heat tolerance characteristics. Just a very brief intro into QTL analysis for those of you who may not be familiar with it. The ultimate goal of it is to associate loci of the genome with your traits of interest. And ultimately, what you do is you create a linkage map, which is a genetic map of your organism, which relies on the fact that genes which are closer together are more likely to be inherited together and not separated by crossing over events during meiosis. So you create this linkage map, which represents the genes of your population. You screen your population for your trait of interest, and of course your population has to show variation for your trait if you're going to successfully screen it. And then finally, you try to associate the different loci in your linkage map with your trait of interest. And so, as a super simplified version, if I can get the mouse, there we are. So a super simplified version, you can see this genotype big A has a higher level of whatever our trait of interest is versus that little a, and so we see that when comparing the trait to the genotype, there seems to be some relationship. And ultimately, that's what we're looking for, is again, correlating our trait of interest with the underlying genetics. Some specifics about the population and map that I'm using in this study. This was a population originally developed for dollar spot resistance by Dr. Stacy Bonos, and it was created by crossing an tolerant dollar spot L93 clone with a more susceptible parent, which is 7418, and they were crossed to create this mapping population. It's a pseudo F2 population with 181 individuals. For the linkage map, there's a total of 445 markers, including SSR markers, AFLP markers, conserved intron-spanning primers, and intron-length polymorphism primers. There's a linkage map of 14 groups was created from this population, and this population, as I previously mentioned, has been used to create QTLs for dollar spot as well as drought tolerance. For this population, I screened it in two different environments to assess heat tolerance. The first was a growth chamber, which used a subset of 100 individuals from this population, four replicates in a randomized complete block design, 35, 30 degrees day-night temperature to induce heat stress, 600 micromoles photosynthetic active irradiation, 60% relative humidity. They were maintained well-watered and fertilized weekly with half-strength Hoaglands. And then the other screening environment was a greenhouse, which used the same subset of 100 individuals, also in a randomized complete block design with an average temperature of 32 degrees, slightly higher light conditions of 900 about micromoles photosynthetically active radiation per meter squared per second, slightly higher humidity at about 70%, and otherwise maintained under similar conditions. Here we can just see an image of plants in a growth chamber, and also in the greenhouse and growth chambers, plants were moved on a weekly basis to prevent any confounding chamber effects that may be present. So for the screening of heat tolerance, a number of traits were chosen. First is just your visual rating of turf quality on your 1 to 9 scale, which represents overall health based on greenness, density, color. We also looked at photosynthetic parameters, including chlorophyll content, which was measured spectrophotometrically, as well as photochemical efficiency, which uses fluorescence to assess the health of photosystem 2, which is the first light harvesting complex used in photosynthesis. Membrane stability was looked at using electrolyte leakage, which gives an overall view of cellular damage, and canopy temperature was measured using an infrared thermometer to give an idea of evapotranspirative cooling. For analysis, physiological traits were compared using Fisher's protected LSD using SAS version 9.2, and the QTL analysis used the program MAP-QTL-5 to identify QTL regions, which again are those regions of the genome associated with your trait of interest. Interval mapping was used, and then a permutation test was used to determine your significant LOD score, which is basically the value you're looking for these regions to show that your trait is above kind of the background and is actually significantly associated with that region. And so that permutation test, you can see a graph here that shows calculating that significance level we're looking for. And lastly, also using this program, a Kruskal-Wallis test was performed, which is in many ways kind of similar to ANOVA, which is another test to look at the relationship between genetic markers and your trait of interest. So here you can see the distribution of heat tolerance in the population for both the growth chamber and greenhouse on the left and right respectively. The black arrow represents the population average. And here we can see that there is a range of tolerance in these populations, and they range from some individuals in this population that are doing quite well. Most of them are somewhere in the middle, and then there's some that are towards the bottom, so we get this variation of heat tolerance within this population. If we look at membrane stability over time, we can see that as the heat stress period goes on, there's an increase in damage, and when we compare just a few select individuals from this population, 60-3, which was more sensitive, is significantly greater damage compared to that 81-1, which is a moderate line, and then 75-3, which is another individual from this population, which maintained a lower amount of damage accumulated during heat stress, again, just kind of highlighting the differential results within this population. And lastly, just to, again, show the variations in heat tolerance and the consistency of this population, we see the chlorophyll content and canopy temperature in both the growth chamber and greenhouse environments for that more tolerant 75-3 line with significantly higher chlorophyll content in both the growth chamber and the greenhouse as seen on the left, as well as significantly lower canopy temperatures, again, in both the growth chamber and greenhouse experiments. And here's just a quick image where we can see some of these variations in heat tolerance that I've just been mentioning. We have plants like this that are fairly dense and green and still looking healthy, and others that are very chlorotic and starting to lose their density and obviously not faring as well. And so after we look at those traits and we start to try and compare this to our linkage map, we get a result that looks like this. So this represents, on the x-axis, is one of the linkage groups, and here are the different loci along it, and the LOD is that value that we're looking to reach our significance level to say that this region of the genome is associated with our trait of interest. And here we can see, based on that permutation test for our LOD score, that we do have a QTL that reaches our significance. And so for this specific example, the trait was that canopy temperature. This is on the linkage group 2.1, and the locus is 38.3. And some other information, is, such as the marker identity, the actual LOD score, the percent of explained variation for that linkage group, and also that Kruskal-Wallis significance level that I mentioned earlier, which is another test that shows the significant relationship between that marker and our trait of interest. And just briefly, another example of one of these LOD charts. In this case, it's for the fluorescence measurement that is telling us about photochemical efficiency in photosynthesis. And again, we can see those same things. In this case, it's on linkage group 4.2. We have an LOD score of 3.71, which again is above that threshold we're looking for significance, and a Kruskal-Wallis significance level of 0.05. And so when we do this for our different traits and across the linkage map, we can get a result that looks like this. So here are linkage groups from our linkage map that have significantly identified QTL regions. Bars in black represent turf quality, green is chlorophyll content, gray is photochemical efficiency, blue is electrolyte leakage, and red is temperature. And so we can see a number of regions on our linkage map which are promising and have these significant QTLs. Of particular interest, there's in the linkage group 2.2, we see a region that's connected with both turf quality and membrane stability, which may be worth looking in extra detail. And here's just another example of some more of these identified QTL regions. On linkage group 4.1, we have both chlorophyll and the photochemical efficiency have been identified to a single region, so this potentially may be a region that's important for photosynthesis parameters related to heat stress. And again, we have another region that identified the turf quality and electrolyte leakage. And overall, we can see that there's a number of areas in our population that look like they're significantly associated with our traits of interest. So in conclusion, the creeping bentgrass mapping population showed a range of heat tolerances ranging from high to low. We found QTLs with association to important heat tolerance traits, including turf quality, chlorophyll content, photochemical efficiency, membrane stability, and canopy temperature. A total of 22 QTL regions were identified, 12 QTLs on 9 linkage groups of the 7418 parental linkage map, and 10 QTLs across 8 linkage groups of the L93 parental linkage map. There's also QTLs associated with multiple traits on linkage groups, such as linkage group 2.2 and 4.1 on the L93 parental map, and 5.1 on the 7418 parental linkage map. And so the important takeaway from here is that we successfully identified several regions which are associated with our traits of interest and related to heat tolerance. Future work includes screening a more diverse creeping bentgrass population that has a greater genetic diversity for both heat tolerance traits as well as our markers of interest. So these QTL regions, seeing if we can take what we've identified here and then apply it to another population to make sure that these are actually identifying important genes and traits and it will be useful in the future. Additional work potentially includes the fine mapping of QTL regions to identify important genes for heat tolerance, to narrow down exactly what genes are playing important roles to better understand the mechanisms of heat tolerance, as well as use confirmed markers for marker-assisted selection once this confirmation has been complete. I'd like to thank my advisor, Dr. Huang, and the Dr. Huang lab, Dr. Bonus's lab, the Rutgers Center for Turfgrass Science, as well as the USGA for funding support. And thank you, and I will take any questions.
Time for a question or two.
Yes.
They
were trimmed weekly, and they were kept at about a 5-centimeter height, so taller than you'd normally see, but they need to be a little bit longer for some of these measurements, unfortunately.
How was the determination made on selecting 100 out of 181 plants?
So out of selecting 100 out of the 181, originally that was selected based on plant availability and also kind of showing these phenotypic variations. In this particular case, I chose the same subset of individuals that was used in that previous drought study. In this way, we can also, in the future, see if any of the drought QTLs are the same as the heat QTLs across the same individuals to try and compare that.
One more quick.
Is there any field data on your tolerance levels?
For this particular population, the question is if there's any field data. for heat tolerance, and there's not any field data for this particular population.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you again.